Investigating Mr. Jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The man who runs Apple Computers is being investigated by the federal government. The Wall Street Journal reports the feds are looking into a stock options grant given to Steve Jobs back in 2001. It had a false date on it. Apple has admitted records of this grant were tampered with. The documents were created by an Apple attorney who was quietly dismissed last month. House Democrats are expected to fulfill one of their big election promises today. This has to do with drug prices for seniors. In the bill that set up the Medicare drug benefit, Republicans banned the government from negotiating drug prices. Democrats want to reverse that decision. Helen Palmer joins us from our health desk at WGBH. Helen, why was this prohibited in the first place?
Ooh, depends on who you listen to. If you listen to the Democrats, it was because the Republicans sold out to the drug industry.
But what do the Republicans say?
Well, the Republicans say basically they believe the market can give us the best price and, you know, you should let the market do its job.
So how does it work right now? Who negotiates these prices?
Private plans basically negotiate all the drug prices for seniors. Seniors sign on to the private plans. They choose the one that suits them best with the lowest premium or covering the drugs they want. What this bill today is going to do is give the Secretary of Health and Human Services responsibility for negotiating. It's going to require him to negotiate and report back to the Congress in 6 months as to how he's doing in terms of getting cheaper prices.
And what kind of leverage will he have to negotiate with the drug companies?
Not quite as much as you might expect. It is expressly forbidden in the old bill and also in this new bill for the secretary to say, OK, we won't cover this drug because you won't give us a good price on it. Nevertheless, health economists say that there is quite a lot the government could do. For instance, they could insist that there are homogeneous prices across the whole country. There are huge disparities in drug prices, even in the cheapest plans, from one state to another. He could also say that if a drug is advertised to the public, then the government must get a rebate, say 5% back, because why should the government be paying for the drug industry's advertising? And also he could take on some of these really high-priced drugs for things like cancer or rheumatoid arthritis, these new drugs, and insist that the government does get a price break on those.
Okay, we've talked about this bill. Is it going to pass?
It's unquestionably going to pass in the House, but that's only half the story, of course. Then it has to go to the Senate, and the Senate, being a more judicious body, is not going to have such strong language. It's not likely to require the Secretary of Health and Human Services to negotiate. It might allow him to negotiate.
Okay, Helen, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Helen Palmer from our health desk at WGBH. By the way, President Bush has threatened to veto that bill, even if it does get through the Senate. Lots of buying on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow gained 72 points to a new record close of 12,514. The Nasdaq put on another percent, 25 points, to 2484. The S&P 500 added 9 to 1423. Big winners included Microsoft, Google, and 3M shares. A new study says urban sprawl is taking its toll on the planet. Marketplace's Hillary Wickay has more.
It used to be the vast majority of the world's people lived in rural areas. But by sometime next year, more than half of all people will live in urban areas. A new report says cities cover less than 1% of the Earth's surface, but generate the bulk of the world's carbon emissions. But that's not a minus. World Watch Institute President Christopher Flavin says cities hold the keys to tackling both poverty and climate change.
Increasingly, cities are the source of many of the world's problems, whether those be social problems or environmental problems, but are also the areas where problems can be solved and increasingly are being solved.
In other words, since the problem is concentrated in cities, a targeted solution is possible. Some creative solutions include urban farming and the high use of solar power. Global development priorities have been focused on rural areas. Advocates now say the world needs to shift those to cities. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with 4 top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals. DukeExecutiveMBA.com.
One of the world's biggest record labels gave some bad news today to shareholders and to a couple of people running the company. EMI is renowned for signing the Beatles in 1962. These days, it trots out artists like Coldplay. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us from London. Stephen, are things as bad as they sound for EMI?
Yes, it sounds pretty dire. Not much harmony at EMI headquarters at the moment, rather the sound of wailing and gnashing of teeth. The share price has plunged around 10%. This after the company said that revenues are going to fall by 10% this year. Jobs are going. Starting at the top for a change, the company's chief executive and vice chairman are both quitting.
Well, what's going wrong to cause all this?
Well, the problem seems to be the same problem that's afflicting many of the big players in the music business. Piracy is eating into their profits, and they're simply not making up the shortfall by getting into internet sales themselves because people are ripping off their material.
So EMI is dumping a couple of executives. Did the company say what else it might do to start turning things around?
Well, it's talked about in the face of this challenging trading environment, we've got to reduce overheads, but they haven't specified how many jobs will go. We could be talking thousands.
You know, Stephen, this is one of those iconic companies. They signed the Beatles back in the 60s, and I heard that your father worked for EMI.
Yes, he did. Not on the record side. He was a building manager. It was interesting. He hated the Beatles. He absolutely loathed them. Like a lot of people of his generation, he thought the Beatles were the beginning of the end of Western civilization. But I used to say to him, Dad, they're paying your wages. And certainly even he would probably concede now that the Beatles were really the high point of EMI's history as a music company.
You like the Beatles?
I love the Beatles.
Why don't we play something then?
Great.
I need somebody, help. Not just anybody, help. You know I need someone, help.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.
I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone.
American Public Media.
It's not.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.